and welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Erin.
And I'm Emily.
And we are back. We took a little bit of an unplanned break from the podcast, but we are back and excited to talk about everything Taylor-related that's happened in the past month or so and look toward the future with the re-recording of Red coming in November, which was just announced. And yeah, just excited to get on with the podcast.
Yeah, I feel like the past month that we've been gone, it's been pretty dry, I would say, with Taylor news. Like, basically every single Thursday night, the whole everybody was just, like, clowning, thinking that something was coming.
And it never did.
It never did. And we wait for trains that just aren't coming. So then it kind of, like, left us feeling like clowns every week. But then finally, this last week, Taylor did announce that she is re-recording Red, which was nice to have some sort of confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we want to talk about that.
Yeah, and I'm honestly a little bit glad that we haven't recorded in the past few weeks, because I feel like if we did record, it would have been about theories, and they all would have been wrong.
Yeah, and in our Fearless episode, I remember we were like, oh, how long do you think we'll have between each re-recording? We're like, oh my gosh, like a month, like a few weeks.
Definitely not as long as
November.
It's going to be, but that's something we're going to get into and just talk about and, yeah, just kind of get pumped up for the Red re-recording. And maybe talk a little bit about the future and what we think Taylor's plans might be after that.
We also want to address the movie news about Taylor that we don't know if it's true or not yet, but we'll give our quick thoughts about that. And then there was also a Scooter Braun interview that was done either yesterday or the day before that we wanted to talk about too.
Yeah, so with all of that said, let's get into it.
We also wanted to update everyone and say that we have an email now. So we've gotten a few DMs, like a few people like wanting to give their opinions on things and being like, oh, like we didn't have anywhere to contact you with our thoughts. So we wanted to connect more with the people who listen to our show. And that is ouramericanqueenpod@gmail.com. So you can like email us about any thoughts that you have about our episodes, or if like you have an idea for an episode you think we should do. We would love to hear your thoughts.
Yes, definitely keep in touch. That is something we want to be a little bit better about, connecting with everyone. So we're excited for that, and we think it'll produce some cool conversations.
Yes. Okay, so should we start with the two smaller pieces of news?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so there was a Scooter Braun interview that was conducted.
Yeah,
it was very obnoxious, I will say.
Yeah, why don't we pull that interview up?
Yeah.
Okay, so Scooter Braun gave an interview to Variety. I guess, did that just come out yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. And he talked a little bit about Taylor, of course, and all of the drama and everything surrounding the Masters deal and now her re-recordings, and I was asked, how do you view what went down with Taylor in retrospect? He said, it's been very confusing, not based on anything factual. He said, I don't know what story she was told. I asked her to sit down with me several times, but she refused. I offered to sell her the catalog back and went under NDA, but her team refused. It all seems very unfortunate. And he basically said, I've met her, I think she's really great, and she's so talented, and I wish her nothing but the best.
I wish she would have talked to me and not called me a bully, because I take my reputation very seriously.
Yeah, and he says that her calling him a bully was very offensive to him, but that all his artists stand beside him, and he was happy that they stood by his side. And for Taylor's part, in November of 2020, of course, she said that he never quoted her price. She was asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement that would silence her forever, but Scooter Braun disputes the claims and says that when they started negotiations, they were all in good faith. So, essentially, they have very different stories.
Yeah, and he conveniently left out the tweet that he liked that one time when he's like, it was like, oh, you know, Scooter Braun owns Taylor Swift now and all that stuff. And then when he took the picture with Justin and Kanye, you know, he kind of left all that out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think in situations like this, of course, we don't know anything. We know nothing about the details of any of the stuff that went down between the two of them. So we're just taking each of these people at their words and they're just saying what happened. So in a situation where what they say happened is so different, I tend to believe that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. You know, like, I don't think Taylor was perfect in the way she conducted herself. That seems unlikely. And obviously Scooter wasn't perfect in the way he conducted himself. So I don't know. I think my view is that maybe there was wrong done on both sides, possibly, but honestly, at the end of the day, we really don't know. So it's hard to even speculate what happened.
Yeah. I saw one of Taylor's friends, like, reply to the article on Twitter and was like, oh, his clients only stand by him because he has dirt on them, which I feel like is probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And it's definitely a very unfortunate situation. And, you know, we were talking earlier that maybe Scooter didn't actually believe Taylor was going to re-record her album. So yeah, the fact that she's actually going through with it is, like, making him react in this way.
And his investment is, like, nothing now.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I like that.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Taylor's story is 100% true and his is 100% false. Or, you know, we never know what actually went down. Maybe we will in, like, 10 years. I don't know.
It's just strange to me that all these people in the industry who are the higher ups, like, you never know who they are. But I feel like he tries to force himself as, like, some sort of, like, celebrity when it's just weird. Like, you never see, like, a record executive, like, out as much as he is. And, like, it's just bizarre.
But he's not even a record executive, right? Because he sold his company.
I don't even know. Like, he's a manager or whatever. Yeah. You never see, like, the people behind the curtain as out as much as he is. And it's just weird to me.
It definitely seemed like an attempt to salvage his reputation, for sure.
Definitely.
I guess he's in his reputation era.
It didn't work, though, because everybody hates
him. Yeah, it seemed, from what I could tell, the public definitely took Taylor's side again in this, which
I even checked the Daily Mail comments, which are notoriously against Taylor, and all of them were for Taylor. And they said that he was shocked that she's actually re-recording and he's salty about it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I guess we'll see what happens in the future with this. But I was sort of suspicious in the time that Taylor was so quiet that she might have bought back her masters, and that was definitely a theory that I was going with, which, again, I'm glad we didn't record it, because I would have looked like
exactly
a clown.
We all would have looked like, honestly, if we recorded during the last month, I was even thinking about doing an episode being like, the third album in the trilogy is coming, like, I just know it is, like, let's do an episode.
I'm so happy. I mean, it would have been fun to listen to at the time, but then it would not have aged well, so that might have been a little bit embarrassing. But I definitely thought that Taylor bought back her masters. I was, like, 100% convinced, because I was, like, thinking, okay, so Fearless came out in, what, early April? Yeah, early April. And then we hadn't heard anything about a new re-recording up until just now, a couple of days ago. So I was like, okay, maybe the silence is because she's, like, trying to negotiate a deal to get her masters back. And that's actually another part of the Scooter thing, because you would imagine now that she's proven that these re-recordings are still valuable and they still can chart and people are interested in them, you would imagine that the Shamrock Holdings would come to her and offer her a new deal, probably a pretty good deal at that. But Scooter, I believe, would still be involved somehow.
Yeah.
So it seems like she probably, well, we don't know that they came to her with a new deal, but I would imagine they probably did. So if they did and she turned them down because Scooter's still involved, that makes me think that something did go down with Scooter, that she's so dead set on re-recording and leaving him out of the deal entirely.
I think this is just like her re-recording all of her albums is something that I think will live on and something that will define her career. So I feel like she's very into that and wanting to redo all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. And selfishly, I am excited to get the Vault tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they're going to be great. And, well, okay, we'll save that for when we talk about Red. Okay, next piece of news.
Yeah, so Taylor is signed on to be in David O. Russell's new film, and it hasn't been confirmed by Taylor or her team, but there have been legitimate news sources and articles written about it, so...
Yeah, it seems likely that it's true.
We don't want to go too into it because Taylor really hasn't given a statement, and I believe at some point she probably will, but let's just say this guy's behavior is disgusting and pretty much is against everything that Taylor has ever stood for when she talked about politics, so it's pretty disappointing. And there was a pretty big backlash against it when it first came out in, like, early June.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if that wasn't part of why she has waited to make another announcement in relation to the re-recordings, because she didn't want to draw attention to herself after that news broke. But I would say that there's a 100% chance that she will have to address this because people are very upset. And she's definitely not the only big name to be in this movie. Like, this movie's crazy. It has, like, so many A-list.
It's, like, all A-list
people. So I don't want to be, like, specifically targeting her because there are a lot of other people. But at the same time, Taylor has kind of made a name for being a feminist, for being somebody who stands up against
abuse.
Yeah, who stands up against, like, men taking advantage of their power and men being abusive toward other people. So it is, I will say, it's hypocritical of her to be in this movie, if it's true, which, again, it does seem like it is, but she hasn't confirmed it. So I'll be interested to see if she pulls out of the movie or to see if she makes a statement and what she has to say. And I think that's really all there is to say about this right now.
Yeah, it's just disappointing because, again, it is pretty much, he stands for everything that she stands against. So, yeah, I can definitely see where all the backlash came from for that. And it's just, like, a very strange career move for her, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. To do a movie with a director that's has as disgusting as a reputation as him. And there have been, like, A-list stars. I believe it was Amy Adams. Like, she said she worked on a movie with him and he made her, like, cry every single day and all this stuff. And there was something with, like, his transgender niece and he abused her. So it's just awful all around. And
George Clooney said in 2000 with Playboy that David O. Russell would yell at somebody on a daily basis, adding that he even got into a heated fight with him, and he said it was truly, without exception, the worst experience of my life. So there are definitely a lot of people who have similar things to say about this director. And
all of Hollywood is disgusting, but something like this where there's, like, legitimate concern and, like, people are actually speaking out against it, you would think that it would make all of these A-list people be, like, taking a second look at it, but apparently not.
Yeah, and like I said, it'll be interesting to see if Taylor changes her mind about this, or if she goes through with it, what she has to say. Because I would imagine that there will be a lot of pressure, like, as this starts to film and as they start to do promotion for it, that there will be a lot of public pressure for her to say something. So it'll be interesting to see how this story develops because it is sort of in the early stages. I think I just saw something that said there's not even really a title for the movie yet. Like, no one's quite sure what it's going to be about or what it is. So it's very early stages, but yeah, we just wanted to address it because that was pretty big news that's happened since
Anna
we recorded.
And it has to do with her public perception and everything.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll move on to talking about the Red re-recording. So, Red, Taylor's version, is coming out November 19th.
Yes.
She announced it last week. I absolutely was shocked when I saw it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I think most people were of the mind that the next re-recording would be 1989, and it would be sometime this summer. And that wasn't without evidence, because Taylor had released, as I'm sure many of you know, she released this merch on her website that said, established 1989, and it was Folklore merch, because it had Folklore, like, lyrics and Folklore aesthetics, I guess, but the color scheme of the merch was very similar to the 1989 album cover, the original one, and then, of course, it actually said 1989, so people were thinking well, this seems like an Easter egg that actually seems plausible. It seems like something she would do to let people know that 1989 is coming. And then when she announced Red, everyone was kind of like, what? Where'd that come from? But there were clues for that, too.
Also, I feel like her outfit at the Brits as well was very 1989.
Yeah, but hair was red.
Yeah, it was just weird. So there's a huge gap now. So now we're in the end of June and we have to wait until November. It's just like one of my first criticisms is that I really wish it was coming out early fall.
Yeah.
Whether that would be like late September or early October.
I totally agree. But Taylor does have a reputation for doing this because Lover, which is very much a summer album, like full of summer bops, very fun, very summery, came out at the end of August.
Well, I saw Lorde's album, which is like summer and beach themed, is coming out like very late August as well.
Yeah, so it's not like Taylor has not done this before, because I feel like Lover would have been a lot better in
June
or early July to have for the entire summer, where similarly, I feel like Red would have been better in maybe late September, early October. But I'm sure there's some kind of reason for it. I don't know what that is, but I would assume there is one. But yeah, it'll be kind of disappointing not to have it for the fall, but I guess we'll have it for fall of 2022.
So there's 30 songs on it. Is there 10 vault tracks or something?
I don't know if I don't think we know yet how many vault tracks there are going to be and how it's going to break down, because there are songs from the Red era that she might re-record and she might not. So on the deluxe edition of Red, of course, we have all of the original tracks, but then there's The Moment I Knew, Come Back, Be Here, and Girl at Home, which are the bonus tracks, which, of course, they're going to be re-recorded. But then she has the original demo recording of Treacherous and Red, which I guess she probably can't put on there because it's a demo. But then she has State of Grace acoustic version, so I would think she'll probably re-record that. And then she has songs that were released during the Red era, like Safe and Sound for the Hunger Games was released around then. So I don't know if that's something she's planning on re-recording. So that's kind of up in the air, I think, right now.
And then there's also Better Man and Babe.
Yeah, yeah. So right now it's not exactly clear which songs she'll be re-recording. So yeah, the vault track is TBD, or the number of vault tracks is TBD. But I would assume there will be at least like 5, I think I saw.
And then there's the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Yeah, and she teased that way back, like in winter.
Before Fearless even came out, I remember
with
that.
The interview with the Rolling Stone podcast.
Yeah, with Brittany Spanos.
And she was talking about the 10-minute All Too Well version. She gave a lot of details about it, and that was the first time she confirmed that it actually existed, right? Because people had always thought.
I think she has in the past, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I just remember that was, like, the first time she actually went into detail about it. And it sounds like we'll be getting that, so that's kind of exciting. Okay, and here's a fun prompt to talk about. Who do we think will be featured on the Red Vault tracks, if there are any? And who do we want to be featured on the Red tracks?
I have a few names that I think. I think Girl in Red, Claro, Niall Horan, maybe Kelsey Ballerini, Maggie Rogers.
Yeah, I think those are definitely plausible. I definitely want Niall Horan to be on the Red Vault tracks. I don't know how plausible that is.
Oh, and Olivia Rodrigo, because she gave her the ring that she had when she was recording Red.
And I definitely think Kelsey Ballerini will be on a vault track, 100%. I don't know if she'll be on Red, though. I kind of had imagined her being on Debut.
Yeah,
I don't know. She does also kind of have more of a pop voice, so she could be on Red. She could be on any of them, really. And her and Taylor have sort of similar voices.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the women would just be backup anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. She'll be backup, so maybe. Let's see, who else do we talk about? Now there's, like, maybe talks of Miranda Lambert being on a vault track, possibly.
Yeah.
And I know there was someone else we mentioned that we're not thinking of. Possibly Little Big Town, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I could see them doing backup for Better Man.
Mm-hmm. If she wanted to re-record that one, maybe they could hop on there. Yeah, and she could do more than two features. Maybe she won't do any features. There's really no saying.
Oh, we said also Ed Sheeran.
Oh, maybe. That's right. Yeah, because he'll have to come back for Everything Has Changed.
Yeah. It should be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see how many vault tracks there are, what they're like. That's what I'm most excited for, because to be honest, the re-recordings are exciting in the sense that I'm glad she's doing it, and I think it's a very, like Emily was saying earlier, it's definitely going to be a defining moment in her career, for sure. And it's just really admirable that she's taking the time, she's taking the effort, she's putting in the money to do this, because she believes that owning her work is just that important, and it's something that she's willing to invest all of this time and effort and money into. And I just think that's very admirable. And it's just really, yeah, it's a good show of principle. And for that reason, I'm excited about it. But at the same time, I can't get myself to be too hyped up about hearing an album we've already heard.
And waiting until November.
Yeah, so the vault tracks are fun because we haven't heard those before. But everything else, I can't really hype myself up that much because I'm like, well, I mean, we have already heard these songs. And a lot of the songs, like We Are Never Getting Back Together, I Knew You Were Trouble, she's performed those recently. So I know a lot of people say, you know, they're excited to hear her mature voice, to hear how different she sounds. But we have heard some of the songs recently and heard her newer voice, if you will, sing those songs. So that part of it, I'm, you know, I'm excited, but I'm not, like, desperate to get it. For that reason.
What do you think of the cover of the album?
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about the cover. I don't love it, if I'm being honest.
I don't either, because the second I saw it, I was like, wait, wasn't this the Evermore photo shoot?
Yeah, it was. And I had seen people saying maybe it's because at the time that she took the Evermore photos, you know, the lockdowns were a lot more strict and... Yeah. Maybe when she had that photographer, like, she was really dead set on having her shoot those photos for all the re-recordings, so maybe they just did, like, one big photo shoot for it at the time. But it does kind of feel, like, even if it's not, which I don't think it is, because she had the red ring on her finger, so it seems like she always planned to do it at the same time, but it, even if it was meant to be for Red, I can't help feeling like it's just an Evermore leftover.
Yeah, I just wish that it kind of, it is, like, very wintry, because I think it was probably, like, around winter when they were shooting the Evermore photo shoot, so I do kind of wish that we got more, like, fall foliage or something.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of funny how, with Fearless, she changed it and modernized it a little bit, the cover, but it was still the essence of the original, and yeah, I feel like with the red cover, it's... like quite a bit different from the original, which I was surprised by. I thought she was going to try to keep the essence of the original as much as she could while changing it a little bit, as she did with Fearless, but I guess it seems like she's going to take more creative liberty and just go for different things, which, I mean, of course, it's still kind of similar, but it is more different than Fearless was.
I have to say, I am, like, kind of bummed out about 1989. I really thought we were getting it this summer, and I was so excited for the fall. And that's one that I'm really, really excited to see what she does with the cover. Like, if she'll keep the Polaroid, or if it'll just be kind of like the other two, where it's just a picture of her.
Yeah, that is going to be... I guess I'm more excited to see the covers now that it seems like she's going to be veering off a little bit more than I expected.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the covers. It's basically, for me, like, I'm excited about the covers of all of them in the vault track list.
Because even when Fearless came out, I think that was my prediction for the covers, that she would just filter all of them.
With red, I thought she would filter it, like, blue, like the original was.
I thought she was going to filter it red, which I guess in hindsight would have looked kind of creepy.
Well, the original had that, like, blue, and that's why people said with her photos from the Brits why she did that, like, blue kind of filter.
Yeah, but I guess in the deluxe edition it is filtered red and it looks nice. But anyway, whatever. It's nice. It's a cool cover. And that's, I guess that is my other thing with the cover, is that it, to me, it doesn't look like a cover.
No, it just looks like a regular photo that would be, like, inside the vinyl.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny. I don't think any of her albums are like that to me, where it just doesn't look like an album cover. It just looks like a photo. Like, I was shocked when I saw the announcement that that was the cover. I thought it was just, like, a photo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be in the booklet, but that is the cover, because she's doing the pre-sale for the album, and that's it, so...
I can't wait to get my hands on the Reputation Taylor's version vinyl.
Oh my goodness.
Because I don't... Reputation is my favorite Taylor album, and I don't have the vinyl because apparently, like, the picture disc doesn't play that well, so I've never really been interested in it. And then there's that orange disc, but it literally goes for, like, $1,000. So, yeah, I can't wait to get the Taylor's version one.
Yeah. All right.
That's the only one I would probably get. Would you get any of them?
No.
Yeah.
Here is a question. People have been wondering if this is it, if the next thing we're getting from Taylor is Red, Taylor's version, or do you think there's a chance she might release something this summer? What do you think?
So you want me to clown?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can be the clown and I'll be the rational person.
Oh my gosh. For the longest time, I genuinely thought that we would be getting a third in the trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, dropping any day now. Like, the clues were so there for me. Like, I was like, oh, all these three emojis. And then one of the days when it was supposed to happen, like, the day before Aaron Dessner was, like, happy anniversary cardigan with three emojis. I was like, this is it. Like, it has to drop, like, any day now. Woodvale, let's go. Like, it's gonna drop. I pretty much gave up all hope of the third in the trilogy at this point.
Yeah.
Unless she does it, like, around when she released Folklore, but I don't know. So now I'm kind of on the train of, like, maybe when she's done with the re-recording, she'll do TS10, because it does get kind of messy with all of the re-records, and then her being like, oh, in the middle of these re-records, I'm gonna do TS10, like, it becomes so many albums that she's, like, floating, and it is kind of messy, so I think she might wait until she's done with all of them to release it, and then she can go on tour with that.
Yeah, I had a dream the other night that she announced a Folklore Evermore tour, and the way she was going to do it is she was going to do, like, smaller theater venues so that it would be, like, really intimate, and I was, like, in the dream, I was so excited, and then I woke up, and I was like, I would love if she did that. I know that's not realistic because she's too big to do, like, small venues like that, but that would be so cool if she was just in, like, a really small...
That's what Lord is doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, I would say that Red is the next thing we're getting from her, and, you know, many people have pointed this out, but in her announcement, she actually said the next thing I'm releasing,
she clearly stated,
is Red, Taylor's version, and yeah, that could be to throw people off, but at the same time, when you think about it, if she did release something this summer, when she clearly stated the next thing she was releasing was Red, that kind of sets a precedent where people are just going to expect stuff from her, like, all the time. And if she says, no, this is the next thing that's coming, they'll be like, but you said that with Red and it wasn't. So I think it truly is the next thing she's releasing. With that said, I could see the big Red Machine album coming this summer, because there's long been speculation that she's going to play a really big role in that with Aaron Dessner and Bon Iver. So that could be something that she might be a part of this summer. And that would honestly make sense why she didn't release anything this summer. Like, maybe she wanted to make room for that. And maybe she'll be, like, a big part of promoting it. If she's a big part of it, I would assume she would be.
But then my mind goes to the merch that she did with the Established 1989. I'm like, maybe she will do it this summer. I don't know.
But that still
doesn't make sense, though.
That still gets into, if she releases something when she's clearly stated she wasn't going to, that just is like all bets are off forever for the rest of her career. People will be like, you're going to release something now. I really think the biggest reason she announced Red now is just to get people off her back. Like, I think it was basically like a get off my back. It's coming in November, now leave me alone.
Yeah.
But people were saying when she announced it, it was 22 weeks out.
What if she's filming the movie this summer?
Oh, yeah, that actually is a good point. That could be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do have to say she has been extremely busy.
Lover was summer 2019, then she did Folklore summer 2020, then Evermore
winter
2020, and then Fearless 2021.
Spring of 2021, yeah. So she has been very, very busy, and I'm sure she's busy recording Red now. I would assume it's not done, and she's probably just finishing it up now.
So I really thought that it probably is really hard to do all the re-records. I was thinking that she could get them done so quick, but
yeah, I think that is probably on her for just, like, the mismatched expectations. I definitely thought it was going to be a much quicker process, and, like, maybe she never said anything to imply that it would be a quick process, but I feel like that was the general consensus that they would come out.
That
like,
we would get them out and then she could be free and to do whatever she wants.
Like every 2 or 3 months and then it would be done. Yeah, but I don't really remember if she said anything to imply that. I don't think she did. I think people just kind of were like, that makes sense.
It does make sense though, because then now she can like naturally go into Reputation and being able to re-record that too.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like a good 2 years.
Yeah, so at least now we know to expect that, because I definitely was of the mind that it was going to be coming, like, every couple of months. But now I know it seems like it's going to be a much longer process, which is good, because now we know. Now we can prepare ourselves that it's going to be a while before we get the next ones, and it seems like she's probably not going to release any new material, but with her, you never know. It seems like she kind of threw out the script. So I guess we'll see.
What is your favorite song on Red?
I would probably say I Almost Do.
Oh, yeah.
That's in my top 10. And I just have always loved that song. So I'm going to go with that.
Mine is either between Treacherous or Holy Ground. Probably Holy Ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Red was the album that actually made me, like, a huge fan of Taylor. Mm-hmm. Because before I got into Red, I was just, like, a casual fan. But then I remember Red had come out, and I was like, I'm gonna get the Target edition of Red. And then I, like, listened to it on repeat, like, every day, and I became a huge fan of Taylor, so.
I wanna say Red originally came out on my birthday. Our friend Alina, who has been featured on this podcast, her 22nd birthday is the day after it comes out.
That sucks.
So she will not have Taylor's version unless it's a single when she turns 22, and I will not either, which is a little bit of a bummer.
I wonder if there will be a single. Because for Fearless, she did Love Story, like, a few months before it was released, so.
I would think if she was going to do a single like that, it would either be I Knew You Were Trouble or We Are Never Getting Back Together. I wouldn't expect it to be 22.
You wouldn't think it would be 22 for the summer?
No, I'm not expecting that. But it is, she did release, she announced it 22 weeks before, so maybe that's a hint. I don't know.
And then she released a few Vault tracks before as well.
Then there were all the not a lot going on at the moment. And her bio is a 22 reference. So maybe she will release that as a single. Was it a single?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has a music video.
Oh, yeah. So that'd be fun. If she did that, then I probably would have it for my 22nd birthday. But it's not necessary. I can just listen to the original.
Yeah.
All right. So with all that said, I think that's all the catching up we really had to do. So again, with our email, Emily, do you want to say that again?
ouramericanqueenpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, so if you have any ideas, like Emily said before, for ideas for future episodes, we'd love to hear them. Or if you just have thoughts you'd like to share, theories, maybe anything.
Maybe we'll even read it on the podcast.
Yeah, anything like that. Just any feedback. We would love to hear from you. And we are looking forward to this new re-recording era, which seems like we'll be in for a while. So now we know. We'll buckle up and be excited for that. And,
yep. And we will be more consistent with our uploading, hopefully, coming up, because we have a lot of really good episodes planned for the future.
All right. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
And we'll see you next time on Our American Queen.
Next time. We'll be right back.